I've been asked to share tonight to reminisce a bit, because as Tim just mentioned, that after we came here, we began here about in 2004, and after 11-ish amazing years, we're moving to Hertfordshire because our daughter has had triplets, and they're now actually two. And for the first 12 months, she made it very clear, please stay where you are. She was then living in St. Albans, because I love coming down to the sea, as I love the sea too. And she said, please stay there. But this time last year, Christmas, she said, actually, I'm not coping. And for the very first time, Sue heard her say, she'd prefer it if we actually moved out there. So actually, 12 months of planning, and which included Sue breaking her shoulder at a wedding, which slowed the process down a bit, and off the market for a while. We are due to move on the 28th of June of January. But it's with massively mixed emotions, so I won't dwell on this because we're so sad. This has been a period of time that has just carved out so much in us. We're leaving very, very different people to the fact that we were when we came. And I may share this next Sunday morning when we're asked to share briefly, but there's a body of folk here that I don't think we'll meet again this side of glory, who are committed to serving the King of Kings with their whole hearts. And it's been a priceless time for us. Michael Newton, one of our members, shared this morning on the importance of listening. And he shared that it was important that we should hear and then come in the service and share with the leaders if we felt that God had a word for us. And I was just weighing tonight's few words and thinking of Isaiah, where he said, you know, I heard the Lord, and the Lord said, who will go for me? And just the fact that he was in a place where he was in a relationship with God already, but he had the sensitivity that a very difficult situation had forced upon him, the death of King Uzziah. And he was therefore sensitive to the Holy Spirit in a way that he perhaps hadn't been, even though he was a priest earlier. I think sometimes in our lives, what the Lord does is he draws himself, us to himself. He allows these situations to crop up, the challenges that we'd like to skip over, and we actually find that we have no option but to call out to the King of Kings. We find, in fact, that we cannot cope by ourselves. And I would say we found this about 3 years ago, and I want to cut this bit quite short, but our daughter, who hadn't been conceiving, moved to Singapore, which was painful enough as it was, and she actually conceived there. It wasn't IVF, but it was an injection of some sort. But it was amazing because the consultant gave her less than a 3% chance of conceiving. And she came back to the UK. They had to because they diagnosed triplets. And she came with us to the Cotswolds for a family break for a week, but had to go back halfway through because she was under a consultant up in Stevenage, close to where she lived, who'd referred her to a teaching hospital in central London where she'd been born, actually, about 37 years earlier. And the consultant, she went back for that, and we thought not much of it. And then he referred her to Great Ormond Street and said there's a problem, not with one, but actually with two. We knew there was a problem with one, but number two was also a problem. And we learned this in the Cotswolds. We were in Broadway. I remember the moment it happened. I got a text, and I hope it would say everything's fine. But actually, it didn't say that. It said, I've been referred to Great Ormond Street on Friday. And they think there's a problem with baby number two as well as number one. And all I can say is, what do you do when you're hit by a crisis? What do you do? And we just cried out to the Lord, soon, her sister and myself. And we sent texts to people that we knew would just pray. We knew they'd get down on their knees, and they would cry out with us in prayer. And so our last day was Thursday. We came home Friday, and we came through a place called a little town in the Cotswolds. His name just left my memory for the moment. And we went for a coffee to a coffee shop. We thought, which coffee shop do we go into? This one seemed best of the three. And while in there, Sue saw these twins. Well, we knew that we had triplets on the way. And so twins was a big number. So she began talking to the mother, little twins, about 8 months old. She said, I've got triplets. Oh, amazing. We're having triplets. Fantastic. So she said, what's her name? And I said, where do you live? She said, Hertfordshire. I said, so does Anna. I said, where do you live? She said, near St. Albans. I said, that's where she lives. She said, what's her name? We said, Anna Black. And she said, amazing. I was given her name last week to contact when I got back from the Cotswolds. And suddenly, the hand of God began to show itself. You know, what a God incidence that we should have called for coffee in this coffee shop. We were in crisis mode. We were crying out for the Lord to work in that situation. And on the same day, she went to Great Ormond Street, who said, without doubt, there's a problem. But Harry says, from the hospital you just come to, there's a problem. And they couldn't find the problem. Fast forwarding, they hoped the babies would be born week 34, but in fact, week 28, a test, and the consultant said, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to give birth today or tomorrow. The smallest is struggling. And the text that I received said, not it's all well, it's actually we'd be given a choice, and the advice is terminate one and have two healthy ones, or run with three, but if you run with three, you must find a new hospital. We don't have three incubators here. I mention this because this for us was crisis mode. We were crying out to the Lord, and we weren't alone in it. We had so much prayer support both here and across the globe, and each text that came in, I was texting or I was emailing till the early hours, really, people that were praying in Japan and Australia and Singapore, because they were standing with us in that situation. So they were born. The biggest was 2 pounds. The smallest was 1.5 pounds. And the chaplain at the Lister, where they were born in Stevenage, says, that'll be a roller coaster. And we said, yes, it will, as though we knew all about it. And we hadn't got a clue. And we stepped into a roller coaster, but we did not step into it alone. You know, others were crying out in prayer for us. Some were praying and fasting. I was greatly encouraged by the fact that people were praying at night while we were asleep. So in Japan, they were praying for us. In Singapore, they were praying for us. In Australia, a cousin who's a pastor for families and children at a Baptist church, a 1,000-strong church, had her children praying. And they'd be asking every week, how's baby number one doing and two and three? Well, Jack and Evie and Charlie were born. And so the roller coaster that we weren't aware of began. But the prayer support we were getting. One Sunday morning, they were in incubators for about 2 months, the boys. Sunday morning, Sue and I had just been praying with Penny and others in the prayer team and Margaret and Graham. And just before we left, we knew the babies were due to come home. But they were testing their hearing. And the smallest, Jack, couldn't hear anything. There were no reactions at all. And the text we got while we're in this building was that Jack had failed all tests. But they would test him again in about 10 days' time. Went home that day, and as I always do, I checked the phone for voicemails. And there was a number on 1471 that I didn't recognize. I looked this up. Now, Tim mentioned tonight we go to Wales every year, and in 2011, Sue and I went to Wales with the team. And the way it worked out, I found myself leading the prayer team and the Americans and the Brits. The Americans made it quite clear to us that they weren't keen to be on the prayer team, but there was no other space for them, which is unusual. But this was a great godly, motley crew starting off to pray. But the prayer team that went for Holland Road was largely the prayer team that was praying on Sunday mornings, with one or two exceptions who couldn't make it. And the prayer team began to gel together. It was only God doing it. It was the Holy Spirit. As we met and as we began to pray, we went to a church, a real sense that the church was, that they were gelling as a team. And the next day, we were going to a church somewhere in Wales. I got the name. And Tim Simons from New Hope, previously from Holland Road, who was actually an overall charge of the outreach team, he said, we're due to go to a certain church. And he rang the church, and they patently weren't ready for us. So we said, what do we do? We said, well, he and I said, let's pray about it. We looked down the list, and there was a name on the list, Hirwaun, spelled H-I-R-W-A-U-N. If you're Welsh, I know that's not pronunciation. I said, never heard of it. He said, nor have I. What do you think? Let's pray. We prayed. Okay, just on balance, it just seemed to give us a peace, we'd go there. So we headed off for Hirwaun, Hirwaun, actually. I remember the minibus, the window was broken, and Anne got soaked to the skin. And we headed down with Charles Culver's sat-nav. And we came to a junction, and the map said turn left, and Charlie's sat-nav said turn right. So we followed Charlie's sat-nav and finished up driving through two very narrow piers into a backyard of someone's house. When we finally managed to leave that and get in the church about sort of just round the corner, it seemed very sort of gloomy. There was just an office, and what do we do? But we met the minister, and we began to connect. There was just that sense of God going ahead. And I went upstairs first into the church area itself, and the presence of the Holy Spirit was just so strong. It was amazing. And one by one, I watched the faces of the others as they came up. It was a very beautiful church. But God's presence was so strong in that place. And we asked Chris Dawes, who was the pastor, and his wife, Kath, to join us. And I said to Chris, so I spoke to you today, actually, would he just kick us off? Would he be with us? And he did. He listed in prayer the things, the areas of concern. The church had never been anywhere near full. And the New Hope Choir were due there the Monday after. And we began to pray. And I'm sure Anne and Penny and Sue will confirm. There's Margie there and Anna Duke and Chaz. We began to get, and the Americans began to get words of knowledge, Bible readings, words of wisdom. And after 2 hours of solid prayer and praise, Chris said, you know, for you to have had those words, you guys must have been members of this church for the last 6 months. You're absolutely with us in tune. And on the Monday night, the church had standing room only, and many were affected in Hirwaun. Hirwaun means long meadow, and it's where they made the cannonballs that they actually sent to HMS Victorious, or Victory, Nelson's ship. And I think it's Spurgeon who says that our prayers are like cannonballs against the gates of heaven. And that's the baseline. And that Sunday morning, just drawing to a close, I got home and I saw this number. And what had happened was Chris Dawes had rung my number by mistake. He just, on his mobile phone, just pressed his pocket or something. And I rang him back and just said, and his phone, his answer phone was malfunctioning. I said, would you please pray for Jack? Because he's not hearing a thing. And it took him 3 days to find out who'd rung him, actually, he said today. But he said, we began to pray for Jack as a church that night. And that was actually 2 years today. And they prayed for that threesome every day since then as a church. And he said, I'd be in the village and I'd be stopped by church members and say, how is Jack? How is Charlie? You know, there is such power in prayer. And if only we would, all of us, you know, give ourselves more to it. We think of all those in the Old Testament and the New Testament who, you know, prayed believing prayers. You know, the Peter in prison, and they prayed for him. And so many others. That as we meet and pray, and as we cry out together in prayer with that unity that the Holy Spirit alone can give, spending time together in his presence, he answers those prayers and he works in different ways. So we can say that as we, this is just a slither of the time that we've been here, but I just thought it perhaps gives an insight into what God will do as he engineers our circumstances, and he allows us to get into places where he can test our hearts and test us. And it's more important to him on every occasion that we turn to him and we say, you know, Abba Father, I cry out to you. I need your help in this situation. I think most of us tonight in this room, many of us can affirm that when we cry out to the Lord with our hearts, he hears those prayers. It's like that cannonball. We see only inches ahead, says Amy Carmichael, but to God, eternity is like a wide meadow. So let's pray for those cannonballs. Let's, even tonight, when you go home tonight, in this week, cry out to the Lord, knowing there's power in prayer. God bless you. I'll pass you back to Tim.
Thank you so much, Steve. What wonderful encouragement to pray. And I just want to say thank you to Steve and Sue for your amazing legacy of prayer amongst us. And we will be missed. You will be missed. We will miss your... I was going to say we'll miss your prayers, but I know we won't, because you will. I know you'll be praying for us. So thank you for your ongoing prayers. You know, in Paul, in his letter to Ephesians, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine." I don't know what you're asking for. I don't know what you're imagining. But God can do immeasurably more than that. But it says this, according to his power at work within us. According to his power at work within us. And then it says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. This is all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So it's about his power and it's about his glory as we call out to him. Jackie's just going to come forward. I hope that's not a surprise, Jackie. And Jackie's just got something just to share with us as well. And thank you so much, Jackie. Can we say thank you to Steve and encourage Jackie as she just comes forward?
Yeah, this is semi-prepared. It arose from a discussion that we had in the Robin Hood group. We were talking about David's father's sermon a few weeks ago, when he talked about how he quietens his soul before God. And we were talking about, how do you quieten your soul? And somebody said she didn't like to pray when she was worried about something, because it just made her worry more. She'd rather not think about it. Maybe you felt the same. I know I have. And I suggested that a passage in Philippians 4 might help. And it's a passage that I find it helpful to pray through step by step. So if you've got a Bible, it might actually help if you look at it, because I'm going to go through it step by step. It's Philippians 4 and verse 4. It starts off in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And the first thing I try to do if I'm worrying about something is to say, well, it says always, it must be possible always. And it's helpful just to agree with the word of God. I don't try and feel like rejoicing. I just agree, it must be possible. And then, let your gentleness be evident to all. I guess that might mean quite a lot of things, actually. But one thing I think it might mean is, be careful how you behave when you're worried about something or fearful, particularly in front of others. I don't know that I'm always successful in this, but make sure you don't speak out of unbelief. The Lord is near, it says. He is near. Remind yourself about his care or his power or something about him. And certainly his nearness. You know, he might not feel near, but he is near. Do not be anxious about anything. About anything? I find it really helpful that that's a command. It's not advice. It's not just something that will help you. It's actually a command. You know, sometimes something bad happens and it seems almost to feel as if you ought to worry. You know, this is something really bad. I've really got to worry about this. But actually, the Bible says don't. So again, just agree with the word of God that it's not right to be worrying. But there is something you can do. Pray. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So make your requests, be specific, talk it out with God, and most importantly, give thanks. Always make sure of thanking God alongside asking, and it's surprising what a difference it makes. We can always find something to thank God for, perhaps in the circumstances, but if not that, then certainly in something that He is. And then this is the best bit. And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It transcends understanding. So I don't have to work out what God will do, nor argue myself into peace by what I see of the situation. It comes from God. So I think this is probably the key to the problem that this other girl had in the group, that she was afraid if she prayed about something, she'd just worry all the more. Because I find this verse useful as a way of sort of sealing off my prayers. It promises peace. So I declare that I receive it from God and give thanks to Him for it. And then I can leave it with Him. Sometimes I physically walk away from the place where I've prayed as a way of sort of saying, I'm leaving that with you, God. It's over to you now. I'm going to get on with something else. I'm going to think about something else because I've left it with you. And that's the way you end up with a peace rather than a worry.
Wow, Jackie, that's so helpful. Isn't that so helpful? Goodness, imagine the other preachers could preach that concisely. I think it'd be really good to pause and to pray. I'm one of the other preachers, by the way, just so. To pray. You know, we've heard the extraordinary way that that God answers prayer. Just so inspiring to hear that from you, Steve. And
tested 10 days later, his ears, I was at work and I was waiting for a response, and about ages, an hour and a half, and then I got a text saying his left ear is okay, and then nothing again for 2 hours, and then a text saying, well, he can't hear, but everything has grown properly, the cochlea is in place, they can do, the medics want an electronic test, which did show that everything had grown, because we thought it might not have done. But actually, you know, the prayer support, what it does is it lifts you in amen to all that Jackie said. And knowing that others are praying with when you are fretting and anxious and standing with you, just takes you over that threshold. And sending texts to people that are in a small group with you or whatever, knowing that these brothers and sisters are with you, lifts your gaze. Whence cometh my help? My help comes from the hills. Allows you to look up in those situations and know, and your, as your faith level rises, so the praise comes from your lips, and you start to know in your heart that God has gone ahead. That's all. Thanks.
Well, should we pause in a moment? Dan's going to come forward, and you can come forward now, Dan, actually, and lead us in some worship that's just going to direct us to this, the ultimate reason why we can be confident about the future. because God has done everything that's required in Christ to secure our future with God. And that's a great reason not to worry, isn't it? So let's just be still. You might find it helpful to close your eyes. And if there are things that you are concerned about, Or there is just, there's just pain, perhaps, that you've got. I just encourage you, just in this stillness, just come and bring it to God. And leave it with God as well. So, Lord, I pray that you would just help us now. Lord, that we would be those who know that you're near. Lord, that we would not kind of speak out of unbelief when we're worried. But Lord, we would know how to bring our worries to you. And even now, Lord, I pray you'd help us to bring those things that are kind of just pressing down on us right now. Lord, we'd be able to bring them to you, bring them to your feet. Place them in your hands. There might be just some things you just, in the stillness, you just want to bring before God. Lord God, as we cast our cares before you, Lord, we by faith, we receive your peace. Your peace that guards our hearts and our minds. Lord, come breathe your peace upon us.